At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, Tony, when you watched that Heartbeats thing, did you have to sign up for that 7-day trial?
I just rented it for $3.99,
$4.99. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just went with the straight rental.
When I went on there, it was like, sign up for the trial.
If you go to Amazon, you could just watch it.
Yeah. I do want to see it.
Yeah, it was good, man. I was like, man, I don't want this to go off.
Ah. Especially since that's my top 5 favorite movies, so.
Mm-hmm.
Top 5.
Oh, Jesus. I've watched the 5 Heartbeats 3 million times.
5 Heartbeats is
I love that movie.
I think that's why it can't make my top 5. Because I think I've seen it so much. I'll have to go like a decade without seeing it to be able to appreciate it the way it should be appreciated.
I don't get sick of it. That's how I rate my top 5. If I don't get sick of it, I could watch The Godfather right now, the whole thing, just take it to the face, and I memorized the whole movie.
That's a lot of memorization.
Oh, I've watched that movie so many times. I've watched a movie and went online and looked up all the stuff that they didn't go into detail with to make it make more sense, too.
You ready for this? Never seen Godfather.
Uh-huh. All right, man. All right, guys. We're back done with another episode of Daddy Issues. We got some whack guests, apparently.
Yes.
Terrible guests.
Ryan Davis is on the show. He's never took the time out of his busy life of how many years? How old are you?
33.
It's 33 years of existence. You young as hell, by the way.
Yeah.
he's never took the time out to watch The Godfather 1 and 2. 3, I get
three,
it. You can
whatever.
Skip that.
Yeah.
You can skip it. But come on, man.
How y'all really? This is how y'all gonna do me for real?
Take the time, man. Take 8 hours out of your life.
Right.
And watch The Godfather 1 and 2.
Take 8 hours out of your life to watch.
It'll be 8 hours well spent.
Well spent.
And in my defense, I'm not a big gang movie guy.
Oh.
Not a big organized crime movie guy.
Oh, well then. All right. Did you see Goodfellas?
I watched it last year.
Did you like it?
It was cool.
All right. Then there's no need to even you on the grill.
It was cool. Like, listen, I understand when something's a good movie, it's a good movie. Like, it was a good movie, but it ain't anything I'm going to go back and watch over and over. I'm just not an organized crime guy, like movie guy. I understand
that
people love New Jack City and things of that nature, but I don't care to watch those movies.
What's your favorite genre of a flick?
It's always gonna be comedy. I love comedies, but I love probably romantic comedies as odd as that is. Not the chick flicky ones though.
Which ones ain't chick flicky?
Hitch, Crazy Stupid Love.
Knocked up.
Yeah.
There's something about Mary. It's a lot of them that ain't chick flicky.
That's facts.
Yeah.
And even some of the chick flicky ones they be funny. That one, some of them would be funny, man. It's just the typical storylines. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, I'm just
I'll
be wanting to laugh, man.
They'd be low on my list of genres. Not completely at the bottom, but I just be like,
it's just, you know, it's gonna happen every time. That's why. I'd be like, you know, every time.
That's why I like the breakup. Because they broke up.
And didn't get back together.
Yeah. And I was like, this is real.
And that movie is hilarious.
Has that movie changed in your eyes, like, with maturity? I noticed when I watched it for the first time, I don't feel the same way. Like, when I was immature, I didn't think he did anything wrong. I couldn't find no fault in nothing he did. Now I'm older, I'm like, hey, bro, you could have at least just.
he did some. What I've done in maturity is, like, I just, like you said, understand more of part he played, but I also understand what he was saying. Like the whole, I want you to do the dishes thing. I get what she was trying to say, but I also understand what he was saying.
Why the hell would I want to do dishes?
No one wants to do this. No one wants, why would you? And then when he snapped, it's like, fine, I'll do the dishes. No, I don't want you to more. Jesus Christ. Like, I get, I get both sides, you know, but he definitely did a lot of things wrong. But she also played too many games, and they didn't belong together.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. It's more failed relationships than successful ones.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I want to see more. They didn't make it in these movies. You know, take us through the whole thing, top to bottom. And then they were like, we didn't make it. And then go off, roll the credits.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's why the breakup was such a breath of fresh air in a sense, because we rarely see the reality of it, which is a lot of us have had failed relationships.
And even the ones that succeed, you're on your 15th relationship whenever you succeed.
Right.
You're not shooting a good percentage. You're 1 of 15. Right.
For real. Yeah, man.
What's your kids?
We got Ryan. Oh, my bad.
I was saying, Ryan, what his kids like watching?
Oh, they're in the cartoon phase. They don't even like looking at actual people at this point.
Oh, yeah? How old are they?
Yeah. 5 and 3.
Okay. And it's all tunes?
Yeah, Trolls is the joint in my home.
I ain't gonna lie, man. Trolls got some good songs in there.
Yeah.
I be singing.
Listen, right, Trolls, this is the thing about animated movies. You will never hear the artist that are on Trolls do a song together under any other circumstance. These kids get the best the best of it all. Like, you don't hear Anderson .Paak with Justin Timberlake ever. But for a Trolls movie, let's make it happen. That's the only way I'm gonna hear that combination.
They got a song together on there?
Huh?
They got a song together on there?
Man, it's everybody singing together on there, man. It's crazy. Go check out the cast for Trolls, man. Trolls World Tour, it'll blow your mind, man.
Oh, that's the World Tour. Okay, I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen World Tour?
No, I just saw
Trolls. Don't try to act like
How old are your kids?
They didn't watch it yet. They 4 and 2.
4 and 2. So you got a 4 and 2 year old.
They might have watched it.
Trolls World Tour.
I see what you're doing.
We got whack hosts for these shows that we gotta get. How are we gonna have a show about being a father and you don't see the most popular kids movie in the world? It is the only movie to do 100 mil off stream.
Yeah, they watched it. I want them. I wish they would watch it more so I could have an Avengers break.
They said that movie actually hurt movie theater so bad because it did so well.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to do $1 billion or something like that off paid views off Amazon. Ugh. I know I bought it.
Yeah, I would love to. I'll watch anything other than Avengers right now. Tony just dip out. His cats messed up something. I saw him throwing stuff at the cats, abusing the cats. I don't know where he went. He should have dipped. Them cats probably cut a line.
I don't know what it is. The second Avengers movie, I can't, even though it's the highest grossing movie ever, Endgame, I don't really care for like that.
some people then, the Infinity War had nonstop action, and then and then Endgame had to wrap all that up and then finish. But it finished with the last hour of the greatest fight scene of all time.
I have to disagree.
That last hour was incredible.
Yeah, they were fighting. They were fighting, but all kinds of stuff was just wrong with that fight scene. When all the women got together, I was like, we're in the middle of a fight. How did all of y'all end up not fighting at the same time?
They synced up.
Nah, synced up.
But in those movies, the only thing, my beef with all the Avengers movies, I don't like all the masks taking off.
Yeah.
Like, when the last scene, when Iron Man was going to get the gauntlet from Thanos, his mask, why is your helmet off? If he punches you in the face, you die. Like, this is ridiculous for your mask to be off this much.
I'm going to tell you why that is, though. It's because Robert Downey Jr. is such a great actor. You don't want to limit
what he does with all of them. Face. You want to see the actors, but I was like, yo, they masks come off for every little thing.
Yeah. I agree with Keon.
It's just, like, ridiculous.
Well, I don't disagree that the mask come off too much. I just understand with the Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, well,
everybody else can keep their mask on, but I do want to see
nobody. Nobody. Keep the mask on, man. Every time. Much. That's why they made Black Panther's mask like that, so he could just be like, he'd be taking it off without using a hand. Every
like, did
five
he really
minutes.
Have to take it off to say, give it to me? His mask could have stayed on for that.
Could have stayed on.
His mask could have stayed on. They was taking their masks off every 3 seconds. And maybe it's hot in there. I don't know. I'm not going to judge him. I hate wearing masks during this COVID, so I get it. I get it, but I'm just like, come on. Thanos about to punch you in the face. You need to
have a mask.
I get
it from
a
practical, real-life standpoint. I get that. But, like, in the comic books I grew up reading, the mask stayed on unless they was fighting so hard, half of it ripped off. But other than that, it was on. And I'm just like, keep that going, man. They always pull it off. They'd be like, ever since Batman, they've been doing it. Batman Returns. He took his mask off. Ripped the whole rubber piece off.
I'm laughing at how passionate Tony is about this.
Because really I've been dealing with this for years, man. Sick of it, man. We don't have to see your face to get the dramatic effect.
And the more my kids watch this stuff, the more I just keep picking at stuff. They watch it so much. So I just be like, all right, this don't make sense. This
Wait
also
a second.
Don't make sense.
You got a 4 and a 2 year old watching Avengers?
Bro, that's all they watch.
Dude, that's like blood and all kinds of stuff in that movie.
That's all.
Get them
they
to watch,
watch
Trolls, man. What are you
I
doing
watched,
to your son?
I
sons?
Watched RoboCop at 6.
And yo.
I'm fine.
And look at you're not fine. You're not fine, Keon.
I haven't murdered anyone.
You're not fine.
I haven't killed anybody. You know what I mean? There was so much blood. And that RoboCop, too. That was the most cussing I had heard. And one set. I was like, oh, my God. And that was the first time I had seen, like, a kid on screen cussing like that. I was like.
Oh, RoboCop, too.
Man.
Yeah, that little boy, man.
He
that
was
something
out of
else.
Control.
So
I saw RoboCop 1 in theaters at 10 years old, and I was just like, the dude fell in some toxic waste, got hit by a car, and splattered all over the car. I was like,
that part gave me nightmares. Oh, hell, he don't touch me, man. I freaked out.
Yeah,
they made toxic waste
you just
so
proved
scary.
My point, movies. By the way, that you just proved my point. That's why Avengers isn't great for the children to see.
Avengers is
the
fine.
Incredible
all
Hulk
is
with his
Avengers.
Fried hand walking around. With
kids need to know not to grab the hot skillet.
Oh
that's why.
You can literally just tell
lesson.
Them that. You ain't got
to. No, sometimes they got to see it to really feel what it, you know. You need that visual.
No, I'm going to tell my, I'm going to take my 3-year-old son and sit him down to watch 300.
That's
because Avengers good. Is PG-13.
Yeah,
you talk about real.
You talking about that rated R, that hard.
RoboCop was a hard R.
Oh my God!
That's what I was about to say. Like RoboCop wasn't.
We watched RoboCop.
That was a hard R.
We had no business watching. I remember they took it to see Die Hard. That was the only time my dad just packed it up. It was Die Hard. What's the one with Samuel Jackson?
Two.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
We went to see Die Hard with a Vengeance. And my mom was like, I don't know if the kids should be seeing this. And my dad was like, it ain't going to be a total cuss fest. That opening scene, Sam was in the street. And my dad just packed. We was in a drive-in. He just took the thing off the thing. He was like, we out. We just left. He just packed up everything. It was so
did
much
cussing.
Did he not
know who Samuel Jackson was?
At this that was, time, or Sam this was known for cussing.
Starting it. This is the beginning of Sam cussing
he
through
movies.
He
wasn't known for being the cuss master back then. That opening
right,
scene.
This was 95. He was just getting cracking in 95.
My dad packed up everything. He was like, we out. Because what made it funny was he was like, it ain't going to be a total cuss fest. And 5 minutes in, he was like, this is a total cuss fest.
Yeah, man.
Just packed it up. He's like, we got
even
go.
the first Die Hard was a cuss fest, and that was without Sam Jackson. Bruce Willis was letting him rip in that one. He said that New York cop, wrong place, wrong time.
I don't even know why we was going to see them movies. I remember we saw Boys in the Hood in theaters.
Another movie I don't care for.
We saw that in the drive-in. Well, my mom and dad are both from L.A., so they that movie for them was like, this is our voice.
Yeah, for me, it's Furious. I'll watch every scene with Furious. And
Furious was dope.
He was dope. And then after that, I don't
know. And Furious was dope, and he was young, too. He wasn't like some OG, you know what I mean? He was dope at a young age.
Yeah. He's one of the best movie characters of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was dope.
He was a great character, man. Like, the way they wrote him and the way Lawrence played him, it was perfect.
Bet you he would have never let Trey watch Avengers or RoboCop.
Probably because there was too many white characters.
He would watch it with him and be like, what questions you have? Yeah. And then Trey would have been like,
You see him shake his hand and not look him in the eye? What'd I tell you about that? Go over the
He didn't
room,
even give
so.
Trey a sex talk. He just gave him Jimmy hats. But he called them rubbers.
What'd you use? I used the number she gave me.
Why are you sweating me, man?
Did you just toss the cat, Mike? Is that what I just bore witness to? You just toss the kitten? Try to slide that in real quick.
I'm gonna have it.
Leave that in.
Leave it in. That's gotta be part of this.
I threw my hat at midnight a minute ago.
I saw it, and then your camera cut out. I was like, how hard did he throw that hat? Camera cut smooth out after that.
I got up, never came back. Now for those that don't know, Ryan. Tell us about your children, you know what I'm saying? What are the demographics?
Okay, for those who didn't see my other, like, two appearances on this show, my children.
I didn't know that.
You on here twice?
Man, I don't know.
I think you just did it once.
Maybe I was supposed to do it, like, four times. But I got a five-year-old daughter and a three-year-old son.
Now, same mom?
Same mom. Yeah, I'm done with children. You got to earn my kid from here on out.
Did you get snipped?
Mm-hmm. But you got to fist fight me to keep it. So same difference.
So you just spent the last 3 months with them, right? In Carolina. How was that?
I'm gonna tell you, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball.
What do you mean?
Looking back on it, I should have been more hands on through that 3 months. I think I took for granted some real opportunities. Now that I'm here, and I think my daughter really let me see that. When it was time for me to go back, she was like, if she wasn't even on some "I'ma miss you" type thing. Her attitude was more like, you were here, but you wasn't really here. So. Yeah, my daughter's real, like, vocal in how she feels. And she wears an attitude on her sleeve. So I could tell there was real missed opportunities there. Like, we were sharing the same space, but I don't think she felt like. Because usually we do a lot of things together, but the world shut down. So we can't go to these places and do these things she's accustomed to. So, you know, us watching TV together or sharing the same space and eating together, I don't think she really looks at that as quality time. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a teaching moment in that moment that I just missed it. And because of that, you know, I just wish I could. This is not something people say a lot, but I wish I had more time to spend with my children that could have possibly annoyed me. But
yeah,
I just would have handled it differently, you know?
I mean, that's interesting that you said, because I think about that every time I get annoyed. I'd be like, let me just take this annoyance to the face.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I can't get this time back. This is at the age where, hey, if they want to be up under me or have me change their damn costume. This morning they woke up at 8:30. And by 10 o'clock they had did, I think, 6 costume changes. And I was like, and the thing is, I don't mind that they're playing Avengers, Batman, Superman, whatever. But like, I'm involved in the costume changes. And that's when I start getting annoyed. Cause I'm like, yo, just put it on yourself. I need you to put these swords in my back. I can't put the mask on correctly. I can't. I'm like, well, be one character for a while. Y'all want to switch every 3 seconds. And every time I'm about to get like upset, I just be like, you know what? Forget it. Just be put the Spider-Man back on that you just took off 3 minutes ago. Fine. Whatever. Like, if that's what we got to do. I was so annoyed this morning. I was like, God damn it.
They're giving you a full Beyonce concert and costume changes every morning.
Every morning. I was like, I can change this many times before breakfast. Story. That's the thing.
Spider-Man got knocked out the whole thing. But this is the time where he wakes up and come back. I need you to put the costume back on me so I can wake up and come back into the fight.
And my son, my oldest, he doesn't halfway do this. Like, if he's Superman, he puts on his blue pants, his Superman shirt, the cape, and the whole outfit. But then has me go get his suit and tie out of his closet so he can put that on over the outfit. He gets his fake glasses. He was like, I'm Clark Kent now. And then when the thing jumps off, he takes off the suit and he's Superman, but then needs me to put the suit back on him because he's Clark Kent. Like, he does that. So it's like I'm involved as hell in their game because they need me to play wardrobe. That's all I am. I'm an unpaid intern doing wardrobe. It's ridiculous.
That's funny.
But their creative minds and stuff, I'd be like, it's fun to watch them do this. Like, he's like, I need this jacket to go with this tie with the glasses so I can be Superman and I got to go save the day. And I'd be like, all right. And then the fighting, even though we got two of everything, the fighting. I want that hammer. They're the same hammer. They're literally the same. We bought two of them. And you think one is slightly bigger than the other. Why do you think this? Why? Keelan trying to boss Kendrick around. You need to be Batman because I'm Superman. But I want to be Thor. I'd be like, well, Thor can fight. You know, it's not a big deal. But Keelan's like, no, because that's Justice League and this is Avengers and they can't mix. I'd be like, oh my God.
That's valid.
He don't mix DC and Marvel.
Valid.
He does not mix.
You know that's what valid. Had me laughing? I that's knew valid. Before Tony said it that he was going to validate not mixing the universe.
That's valid.
I knew it. I knew
the
it.
The kids already know.
He don't mix them. He puts them away in separate boxes.
Keon is doing a fantastic job, man.
It's so annoying.
That's valid. We can't have Superman hanging out with Black Panther. It's just not going to happen. All right? We got lawsuits. We got all kind of stuff we got to work through before we see that happening in the household. All right?
Maybe going in. But I'd be like, oh, well, this is...
Man, saw Tony post a clip around Father's Day with his sons, and I remember seeing your sons for the first time on Last Comic Standing. I keep forgetting you got some big old boys, man.
Man, grown man. Serena be 21 in January.
Jeez, man. Tony, I did this thing where I was like shouting out comedians. The new age comedians under 40, right? And somebody was like, how are you going to leave Tony Baker off? I was like, you and Tony Baker got to have a conversation. This is not right. a thing between me. You might want to. Tony is very clear about his age all the time, but apparently they just keep looking at you and going, "Nah, he's not 40." You know what I'm saying? I was like, "Nah, he knew age, but he's older than some of us, yo. That's it. Mm-hmm. But he's part of this.
Fully realized.
Yeah, he's part of this group. It just the problem is y'all. It ain't us. The problem is y'all. Y'all got hit to him late. I knew about Tony. I done known about Tony for about 10 years now.
And people don't be reading, man. No matter what you post, they can clearly say under 40. People like, nah, man, Tony Baker, though. You know,
bro, I said under 40. Somebody said, what about Bill Burr and Joe Coy? I was like, they 50. Like, what?
But I didn't know how old Joe Coy was. Bill Burr is old.
Yeah, it's like, man.
Isn't it weird? How old is Joe?
49.
He's 49?
Yeah.
Wow. I never would have thought. He got a young energy, too.
Yeah.
Them great tell story, though.
You know, times have changed, though. You know what I mean? When we were growing up, what 50 looked like versus what 50 looks like now is two completely different things.
People just look old back in the day. Like, you look at people's baby pictures from back in the day in the black and whites. Even when they was 5, they looked 36. And I'm just like, why did people look like this back then?
I think it was partly clothing.
Clothing had a lot to do with it.
I think, because, like, I look at my dad. His glasses at 19, he was like, I got these new glasses. But they was, like, goggles. He was like, these are the freshest glasses out, and I'm like, you look 108 with them glasses. And he was super young. He was super young. My dad was hella, the music was different too, because rap was like a thing, but like it wasn't. So what they grew up on was different. So I remember my dad, he was only, you know, 26 years old, but he's in the car playing nothing but like Motown. And I'm like, you don't like any younger than me? You're 26, bro. Like, why? It was just everything was different. Music, everything was different. You weren't allowed to be, and kids, people had jobs and kids earlier. Like, you was just old faster. You got a full family at 23. Like, I'm old.
Yeah, I have a super.
I had
young
two
mom.
Kids at
23. Yeah. I got a super young mom. So, like, my mom was the exact opposite as your dad. My dad was like your dad. My dad would call rap hippity hop. He was that old. But my mom's 50, so she's like Diddy and Andre 3000 and them age. Like, that's so, yeah, like, she was into all of that. She was the only thing. Is there a black mom who didn't like Anita Baker? Like, my mom woke up every Saturday to Anita Baker records. That had to be done. But then,
the weekend Anita Baker playing. But you wake up, do you bring me joy?
I remember my mom going to the MC Hammer concert with like the Hammer pants and everything, bro. Like, I remember her going to go see Outkast and Lauryn Hill, and my dad being like, "Who? I'm not going to go see that hippity hop nonsense."
My mom.
How old are y'all parents?
My parents are 55.
So they was born like late 60s.
Yeah. So, but my mom and dad weren't really into it. But my auntie, she's only 12 years older than me. She's the reason why I was such a 90s R&B head and Pac and all. Because that's what she was listening to. And she used to live with us. So she would go. So the reason why I was so big on like High Five and New Edition and all that stuff, because that's what she was listening to. So I was like, well, I would take this over, you know, the Temptations. Like, yeah, I'm here.
They got old. You know what, man? Because I just realized, Keon, your parents are just a couple years older than my oldest brother.
Yeah.
There's a 10-year gap. So he's 53. I'm 43. So, but he was listening to a lot of 80s pop, and then he transitioned into like house music because, you know, Chicago, that's the thing. And then he was listening. Then I put him on the Wu-Tang Clan, and he was with it. Like, before that, he was listening to Public Enemy and all of that.
Yeah.
And then, but he wasn't listening to a lot of like old Motown or like old soul or none of that. He wasn't on that.
Yeah, mine were.
But he was listening to like the new rappers on the more so the East Coast tip. But he did have Ice Cube and like Warren G's album. Yeah. But he didn't really rotate them like that.
I think what it was too, I think my dad was just like, I'm not gonna listen to this with the kids in the car. So I don't know what he listened to by himself. But because he liked Public Enemy and he liked N.W.A. because he was from L.A. So with N.W.A. he was like, this is our voice. So when that dropped, he was into it. But I just think maybe they didn't play it in front of us because he knew when we watched the N.W.A. Movie, he was in. He was like, I remember the. So I think it was just we in the car. You gonna take this? He liked jazz too. He loved jazz. So,
oh, I like.
So I he like was jazz. Like, you gonna take all this. You know, Dave Koz and what's the
African white cats?
No, I was about to say, what's George Benson, and he was doing all the. That's what he was. That was his thing.
My brother liked jazz too.
He loved it.
Gerald Albright and like Najee.
Yeah,
and
he loved Najee. He loved Najee.
Najee got a Just an Illusion album. It's incredible, but there's a lot of singing on it.
Yeah, he would. That was his thing.
It's incredible.
And we'd be like, Dad, can we just please listen to some pop? He'd be like, Nah, take this sax.
I didn't get into rap. I wasn't really exposed to rap. My Uncle Ray listened to rap heavy. That was the, and so if we were ever in his car or whatever, that's the only time I would hear rap. There was no Wu-Tang Clan, none of that. If it wasn't for my Uncle Ray in Rap City, I don't know where my rap exposure would have been. Thank God for P. Diddy making it palatable for my mom, because that was the transition to where it actually started to happen. You know, when people hear Juicy and they hear that that Juicy Fruit sample, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It makes it easier to listen to. So when Diddy was doing all those 80 samples, you know, it was getting parents to be that little bit of nostalgia for them to listen to it.
If they was open to it, my dad would just get mad at sampling. All y'all do is take our stuff. That was him. That was him. Y'all just take all our stuff. If I ever played a song that was a remix or even a cover, he would bust in and be like, you know where this came from, right? You know where this is from, right? Yeah, they wasn't the original. But like, he would say it like it was going to hurt my feelings. And I was like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. One, I already heard the original because of you. I still like both. They can both coexist. I don't need to hate on one. He was just old, so young. He just hated anything that wasn't his era. He just hated it.
Man. That's because in his mind, when he heard the sample, he was like, oh, this is. And then when he about to sing to it, a rapper comes in, what's this?
Spice Adams. He was like, man, Buzz, man. Great videos of that.
It's just like
videos.
You think it's the original, you about to come in singing, and then you hear Biggie, like, hey man, what's this? Ruining my track.
Heavy D and MC Hammer was the rappers allowed in my house.
My dad didn't like both of them. Heavy D. Long time. He didn't like both of them.
I loved Heavy D, man.
Happy rap. I grew up on Happy Rap.
He was out here moving. Yeah.
I'm a huge Will Smith fan. I love a Happy Rap. I grew up on Happy Rap. So Will Smith is my guy.
Will Smith got some cuts.
Will Smith can rap, though. Like, he really
he can.
Rap. He just
but
got
it
labeled.
It was Happy
like
Rap
this.
That was allowed. So
yeah. Feel good, you know, nothing too heavy. Ain't nobody getting killed in my song.
My dad would rock. He would rock with the Happy Rap or the Conscious Rap. Mm-hmm. So Self-Destruction and those songs like that, he was all in. But I think he was into the gangster rap. But I think you know, when you come from that environment, I think you don't want to be reminded of it. So he kind of was like even with some of the hood movies, he would like it, but then he'd be like, you could see him like kind of go off, like down like memories, and I think he just was like, man, I don't need to. I think NWA only hit for him, like I said, because he's from LA. But the rest, he kind of was like, y'all just talking about killing all the time. But I'm like, I seen that. I don't want to hear about this shit.
Man, I like your dad. Never even.
And I was
met.
Like, all right,
well, really like it, dad. Because that's why I can't. I grew up around it. Why would I want to? I just don't. You know, and it would make me mad because so many of my friends from, you know, those times that I grew up with was like, they speaking to us. No, they, man, yeah, we need to make a change. Nobody ever pays attention to those parts of the movie that at some point in the movie,
yeah,
there's a call for change. But no, the character movie, they love the most violent Negro in the entire movie. You see Menace? Oh, man. O-Dog is the... Oh! I mean, like, why? Why?
Yeah. And I didn't like O-Dog.
Doughboy. You saw the way Doughboy was like, we got a problem? Pulled the gun. No.
I did like Doughboy, though.
Man.
I did like Doughboy. Doughboy had redeeming qualities.
The way his mother treated him.
Yeah, I like Doughboy, but yeah. I didn't like Old Dog. He was too much.
I don't like
Old Dog was one dimensional.
Yeah, he was too much.
Man,
just like, Lorenz Tate played him dope, but he was one dimensional as a written character. It was like, why is he like this?
Like with Doughboy, you could see that this is my environment, but I wouldn't choose this. But this is just where we at. Like,
yeah,
this is just this ain't what I want. But you know, hey. It is what it is. But Old Dog, he just seemed like he just wanted smoke all the time. And it was just like, God, man, calm down.
And those be people's favorite characters. And that's the part that just, I'm like, nah, man. And I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, I became conscious pretty early in life. I got exposed to it. Thank God for YouTube. It was very... Because my parents, my mom used to think like Farrakhan was crazy. So we couldn't watch nothing he said or anything like that.
I think a lot of people did back then because that's what the media made him out to be.
Yes, exactly.
So it wasn't even black people's fault a lot of the stuff they thought because they only, you know, exposed to what they exposed.
Oh, no, the media do their job. They do their job. If they want to discredit you, they will get it done.
It's just now it's a lot harder because we on our own wave. So we'd be like, nah, we can just go look this up ourselves.
Yeah.
Nice try.
I ended up down the YouTube rabbit hole of blackness. I don't know what happened. It was just all these content creators. They didn't even have a lot of views. Like, they were just really pro-black. All these sisters with natural hair or whatever with 38 views. I was just watching all this stuff and learning all this stuff. And then I was like, man. That explains why I don't like seeing the images that I see or whatever. I just really didn't have a way to put it into words. And then I would just learn about our history that they never taught us in school or anything like that. And I was like, you know what, man, this is dope. And we just need and being from the hood, I think the problem I have too is most of us ain't gangsters. The hood, if I say the hood have like 300 people, it's like, 15 gangsters in the
everybody else is trying to
small percentage.
Yeah,
most of
everybody else trying to navigate.
Yeah,
around the gangsters.
So right. So where's our stories? Most of us are not the gangsters.
But that was Trey.
Where are the stories?
That was Trey and Boys in the Hood trying to navigate.
Ricky.
Yeah, they were just trying to make. We just trying to get out of here. That's to keep our heads.
That was my upbringing.
Yeah. Where's Chicago's stories?
You know, Chicago is notorious for gangs.
Everybody hates Chris. My dad was Julius. You know what I mean? Like, that's my father. That's
Keon. Keon is
Julius.
Yo, but that was my life in Chicago, man. Chicago. Everybody know about the gangs in Chicago and the violence. And like growing up as a regular kid around, you know, gangster disciples and like all of that, it was just like, yo, there they go. It was like we would see them and be like, oh, it's one of them. You know what I mean? But it wasn't like we was all, you know, one of them clicked up and stuff like that. It was just like they were kind of like boogeymen within our neighborhoods. But we kind of knew him. Or we know a kid that transitioned into that lifestyle. He's like, oh, he one of them now. So it was just like, but we was regular. But from the outside looking in, we all looked like GDs or vice lords or any of that. And we like, no. To not be able to wear a hat and it slightly get tilted, it was just ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I ain't even wearing no ball cap. Forget that. Just give me a Scully.
Yeah, see, well,
just to be on the safe side.
Hey, it was just like this was the norm. Like that, I hear stories like that, and I'd be like, "Yo, that's You're scared to wear hats, scared to wear colors.
Oh, the colors thing. Especially like Tony's from there and was irritated. When you not from there, it's even you're even more irritated. Because you're just like, I don't understand this. Yeah. I don't. Like, when I would visit my family in L.A., I'd put on an outfit. They'd be like, you can't wear that. I'm like, nigga, I'm just, it just matches. This Jason Kidd jersey is fire. I got the J's with it. I just want to be fresh. And it was like, no. And I remember I wore some red Jordans anyway. And I was with my grandpa. My grandpa's 80-something years old. We're at Popeye. And we walking into the place. Somebody get out the bus. What up, blood? I'm like, I'm just here with my grandpa. Like, why can't I wear these shoes? This is ridiculous. Like, really?
That I can't get chicken? That part in the wood aggravated me. Because they were like, take that hat off. They were like, it's blue. He was like, it's Carolina blue. This man can't even represent where he's from.
Nope.
Like, and if you from the Carolinas like me, man, there's so much Tar Heel stuff all over the place. Man, I was like, man, you should move back. You shouldn't be oppressed like that. And I'm a Duke fan. I don't even like Carolina at all. Now, I would want every Carolina person to take their hat off, but just my pride and where I come from and knowing, you know, what things that are like cultural to us, man, like that rivalry is culture, man. You talk to your friend that day when Duke Carolina played. Your best friend. You'd be like, hey, bro, don't talk to me today. And if y'all win, don't talk to me tomorrow either.
Now take that passion for sports teams and apply it to your gang life. And the Green Bay Packers killed your cousin. When you see that G as a Bears fan, you're going to be ready to fire on.
Oh, yeah. So
that's how they look at it. Because I've seen this dude. I was at Soldier Field one day last year, and this dude had on the Green Bay shirt. And I was just like, you got a lot of nerve wearing that shirt. Just on that. And that's just on sports. You know what I mean? So gang life is just a big sports rivalry, except people
that's a great analogy. Murked. That's a great analogy. As soon as you said that, I understood to the highest degree. As soon as you said that.
That's all.
But it's annoying for, like, if you're a non-sports fan.
Yeah.
You watch, like, I don't understand this. And so for me, not being in it, I'd be like, yo, why y'all doing this? Like, I almost understand neighborhoods and whatnot and our personal beefs. But just this, I'm like, why? And you if you in it, you know who not in it. So why are you bothering me? You know I'm not in this. Like, you know I'm not suiting up. I don't have any alliances here.
But they're Jordans. They're Jordans. You can't claim Jordans, sir. I'm sorry. I don't care what you claim it. It's you don't go before the guy who made the shoes. This is not the blood edition Reds. These are 13s. Okay? I'm wearing
It was just so ridiculous. I was so irritated. And my papa, he didn't even flinch because, you know, he lived there. So he was just like, let's just go eat. And I was just like, I was so annoyed. Like, at just the stupidity of it.
Excuse my ignorance, but I've just never understood what you're looking for whenever you join something like that. Is there some...
I mean, they said, I get it.
I get why.
I definitely get it.
I'm zoned.
Protection.
I love both you guys to death. If y'all go, hey, we about to ride on some fools and shoot them, I'm like, hey, man, I never thought you guys would go down this path.
Y'all might have to. Y'all but you going to say that now.
And I love both of y'all to death. I scream your praises to everybody. You know what I mean? If there was something major going on in y'all life, I would hope to be there. But y'all do some stuff like that, and I'm like, nah, not my freedom. I don't play with my freedom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even expect nobody to ride with me like that. I'd be like, nah, man, stay home. I got this. I'm that type of guy.
Yeah.
You don't want no part of this, man. Get out of the car. You know. But,
that's what was done to me growing up. Whenever my friends was about to do something wild, and I'm trying to be, because my dad didn't play, so I wasn't in no streets. I wasn't in no, it was... Do it. You can either deal with them streets or deal with me. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna choose to. I'm not. So even when mm-hmm. I tried to, like, I remember I tried to sell drugs one time, and the person was like, "Man, get your ass out of here."
That's what happened to me. That's my story. That's my story.
Get your ass out of here. This ain't
I, I succumbed to the streets, and the streets didn't want me. That is my story.
I got rejected. I feel like the application.
That's why Ryan don't like the street movies, man. He got rejected.
It was 100% about I just didn't like where I was in life. I was doing things that was quote unquote the right way to do it. And everybody who was doing the things that were the wrong way to do it had nice cars. They were getting custom paint jobs. They had all the girls. I was like, man, I risked my freedom for some of that. So just for a little bit of that, working at a grocery store and not having nothing is not,
right.
It's not working for me. It was for that. But they were like, man, this ain't even you. Like, nah, the streets rejected me. They were like, nah, you can't do this.
In my ignorance, I didn't realize, I was just like, you gon', like, it's just selling, I'm just handing out product to people and getting money for it. I wasn't thinking about all the other stuff that comes with selling drugs. I'm just gonna hand out some stuff, and then I've had jobs before. This is the same thing. I just it's like a
customer
lemonade,
service,
lemonade stand.
Hand to hand,
I just
customer
here you go,
base.
And it's mm-hmm. over. You know what I mean? I didn't know corner boys out there getting robbed and territories and all that.
This is another thing too. Let's say you just get into the game, right? Are you gonna find new users or current users? Because then if you find current users, that means you're hurting the sales of somebody else.
Exactly.
So they immediately
you're not
have
thinking
a problem
about that.
With you.
Yeah.
This is too much, man. Mm. I will say this. I've never been like...
You got to go create a base.
attracted to the drug deal game. When the dude offered me the sales pitch in the alley in Chicago, he's like, yo, sell this for me. And I was like... I made a decision right then and there. I was like... I still want to play with toys and stuff. This is just too fast for me. I was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? But that was the pitch. That was the moment where I was just like, I'm going to go this way.
Man.
And I was like.
I saw my homie.
Because every movie, even then, every movie that I saw, like, you know, at that time, Scarface was a movie I saw about a drug dealer in current 80s time, where I was just like, it didn't end well for him. Cocaine, yeah. And I had family members dealing with drugs and stuff, and I was just like, nah, I don't like this.
That was another reason. So, I don't think I could be responsible. Like, I could see a crackhead and be like, I helped them do that to themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, I couldn't, yeah. And it was a man I wanted to kill when I was a kid, because he was supplying my family with drugs.
Oh, okay.
And when I was brought around him, I saw him as like a demon, and I was just like, his house smelled like crack smoke, and I was just like, I want to kill this man right now, because I knew what he was about. He was like a light-skinned dude. He had like a whole bunch of freckles everywhere, and he answered the door with no shirt on. I was just like, you know, this dude is destroying lives. And I knew that as a kid.
Part of me wish you had joined the gang just so you could tell your stories. I would love to hear gang stories told by Tony Baker with your sound effects and everything. Man, I would
take it to the stage.
When
I got shot in the hips in 96. Man, listen.
Tony, do you think growing up in it like changed? Because like my family, we weren't shown that. I didn't know why that lady was tripping like that, or why, until I got older, I didn't know half my family was on crack in the 80s. Mm. Like, I just was like, oh, this nigga got a lot of energy. Like, you know, I didn't think nothing. I didn't know, like, when they was like, you know, so-and-so's in jail again. And I'm like, I don't know why. I didn't know they running drugs from California to Washington and a big cocaine. I didn't know none of that. So do you think knowing what was going on shaped why he was like, I don't want no parts of that?
I think it had a lot to do. It was a mixture of reality and fiction because, you know, as you know, Keon, I'm movie McGee, and I always have been. So I would see a lot of cocaine use in movies and people wilding out on cocaine. Then in real life, I'm seeing like crack, cocaine, and I'm just like, I'm already piecing together like, yo, this ain't the move right here. And it was just like, it was funny to see it on TV and then see it in real life. And it's just like, nah, man, I ain't feeling this.
I saw lives ruined. I think that'll do it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you meet a crackhead and they were already cracked out when you met them, but I've seen some of the, you know, they were doing just fine in life. And then you see it just take a toll on them and completely change them, change their appearance, change the way they talk, change the way they act. And it literally turned into a crazy person, but mm-hmm. it's somebody unrecognizable, both physically and mentally. Because of it, and I just didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, see, I got the first hand. I never saw the first hand because it was it wasn't my immediate family. It was, you know, the relatives, and I only saw them on holidays. And I just didn't until I got older, and then I was like, "But these people ain't right." And then, but I never caught when they first. You know, I was born in '84, so when it first hit, I'm a child, and then by the late '90s, you know, people ain't really they're. There now you just see the leftover, you know what, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's why they used to do this, and that's why we had to put stuff away when certain people came over, and that's what, like, I didn't. My mom would get so mad. Don't leave your stuff out. Put your stuff in the back room. Lock it away. And I'm like, so and so coming over. I'm like, okay, like why is that a thing, or why are people? And then, you know, back then kids are supposed to mind their business. Do not involved in the conversation. So I was just playing, and we didn't. I didn't know. I didn't know why my cousin had to come live with us, and I didn't. You know, I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, I never asked those questions either, bro. Like, we've had so many relatives live in and out of our house. I never asked those questions. I think I put stuff together later in life. I just, you know, saw all these things, and then once I had an understanding, I was like, oh, that's what that was. Because even my understanding of it, like you said, a few years make all the difference. I was born in 87. My oldest brother was born in 83. And our memories of growing up in the hood are they're not completely different, but how we viewed certain things were completely different. He would go, "You remember this?" And I'd go, "Yeah." You know why that was? Nah, that's just the way things were. And he'd be like, "Well, this is the way I saw it because I knew exactly what it was." And I didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't even know we were poor. I didn't know. I thought everybody lived like this. You don't eat meat out of a can? Who doesn't eat meat out of a can? Everybody eats. What are you talking about? You know, I don't know how old I was when I figured out that meat was supposed to be named after the animal. I didn't know that.
I didn't find out about the money struggles until we moved to 75th, 79th. That's what I was like. When they started really roasting me for my shoes, I was like, oh, we were struggling. Because everybody in my other community, we were all in the same boat. So it was like, you know, this is what we're doing. You know, I knew food stamps was a point of shame at the time. But it still didn't really register until I moved to a different part of the South Side. And then that's when it was like, oh. Well, let me not wear the pro wings then, huh, guys?
Man.
They were on me.
It wasn't until, like, middle school, high school, and we had moved. We had got out the hood. It wasn't completely out of the hood. We went from assisted living to our own house in a bad neighborhood, a bad-ish neighborhood. So, but I would go to school. Niggas had Jordans. I had Nikes. Nike what? Nikes. Right. But this was at a time, ain't no tell, it could have been clearance rack, anything, $25 a night, but they were Nikes, you know, just enough to make you go, well, you know, at least they didn't come from Walmart. That's it. My clothes, there was no name brand and nothing ever. I was middle of seven kids at the time too. So from two high school dropouts. So it wasn't a whole lot of, you know, money to play around. And I remember I got a job and I started buying clothes. And someone pulled me to the side at school. It was like, "You have a job, don't you?" I was like, "Damn, is it that obvious?" They were like, "Man."
It was like, "Because you ain't selling drugs. We heard you got kicked out. So you ain't doing that. So you definitely got
jeans." But I just realized that, you know, And it is crazy as a kid to be judged or criticized on some things you can't even control.
Oh my God, man. That's what they was all about when I was growing up, man. And then, like, yo, I don't have any jeans, y'all. I just got this one pair. Get off me.
And kids who didn't have a father but had Jordans, and I had my dad, and they be like, yeah, you need to get you some Jordans. I'd be like, man, you need to get you a dad. Like, this is...
They didn't know what they was missing at the time. Like, he was never there.
I got to play one. I look at my basketball. Kids now. I don't cry on Father's Day.
I look at my kids now and how they have grown up in a totally different environment, totally different areas. Because my oldest son has been asking me about Chicago recently because he's into, like, Chicago artists, Lil Durk or whatever. He's from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So he's been watching all these, like, Chicago, like, gang stories and all this. So he's been asking me, like, man, what was it like? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I want to go out there. I was like, nah, you can go out there, but it's just, you know. And that just made me think, like, yo, my sons have grown up completely different than I did in terms of environment.
And you guys, and you always visited, want your right?
kids. They haven't been. They haven't been to Chicago with me. And so I want to take them so they can see it, you know. But it just goes to show you always want your kids to have a better experience than you had.
Go ahead, keep going.
And it's just... You know, the one thing I do like about Chicago that instilled in me a sense of blackness and like pro-black and like black pride that I feel like is not out here in Burbank in New Mexico where my sons were raised. So, you know, they had to get it from like me or like, you know, the internet. But growing up with that violence and also a sense of pride, I think was dope about Chicago and how I grew up. Yeah.
What was you going to say, Ryan?
I just want to put like a whole bunch of money to the side and take every gang member and fly them to a place with their gangster ass and to be in a field and shoot it out. Y'all so bold. Stop shooting it out around civilians. All of that. Just go to a field. May the best man win. And then y'all go home. This thing be over.
Y'all
with.
Go home?
Yeah. And then whoever left, go home.
Yeah, we would do, like, piggybacking off Tony said, we grew up in the suburbs, but what we would do is every summer and holidays, we went to South Central. So we would do just enough, be like, I want you to see, and let's get the hell out of here. So that's how they would do us. They was like, we're going to raise you here, but you're going to see, you know, where we were raised. Because I remember one time, we were in Oakland, I think, or something, and I was a little kid, and I seen this dude walking down the street, and I grabbed my dad, like, because, you know, I was like, this dude is I don't know what he about to do. And my dad was like, hey, man, let me tell you something, never be afraid of your own people, man. He was like, that's just a dude, and that I'll never forget that. And he was like, all right, we need to have y'all around more, you know what I'm saying? That's when we really started doing more even hood stuff, heavier, not too much, but just enough to be like, you can't be out here freaking out because you've seen something that's not what you normally used to seeing or whatever, you know what I mean? Or you associate black with dangerous or,
man, you know, stuff like that, man. So I absolutely love your dad, bro.
So he was like, no, don't do that's that dope. I could tell it bothered him when I did it too, and I remember that they stopped letting my little brother watch Cops. They stopped, like, they just shut everything down. Every negative black, they just shut it down. They was like, hell no. Nah. Y'all not finna be thinking that we are all bad or scary or whatever.
Right.
Like, nah. They shut it down. And then they would take us out. Even when we went to the hood, they would take us to the front. My dad be like, man, this place got the best ice cream or this. And I'd be like, you know what? This ain't so bad. You know?
Mm-hmm. Man. This isn't. I did Memphis. With Ray Grady had me laughing so hard because we went to a club after, right? And I was just walking around the club willy-nilly. I was standing in VIP or whatever. Nothing. And Ray was like, either Ryan is a killer or he's the greenest, just unknowledgeable dude in the world who just doesn't know the situation that he's in. But I'm just not scared of my people, bro. I just, I'm not. And I grew up around, there's people in my family who definitely shoot up houses and had their houses shot up in. And I just know them as that's my family. So I don't see it like that. The only reason, I have so much negative to say about the stuff that people be doing is because, you know, you don't have to, man. You really don't have to. You don't have to go down that road. And I know it's hard, man, because when you see, because there's people who had it worse than me. You know, my parents weren't addicts. But if your parent was an addict and you couldn't get clothes and couldn't get food and couldn't get those things, and then you decided to sell drugs or join a gang for survival, I can't knock you for that. But whenever you join some of these gangs for survival, you looping into the same people who's selling that to your parents that got you in that situation in the first place, and you're going to do it to some other kid, and the wheels on the bus go round and round.
But nobody's thinking about that at that age.
I understand that, but it's like
at that age, it's just a cycle that we reflect on. But at that age, people are just like, man, I'm just hungry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I'm just tired of wearing this shit. One time I didn't get a job
because I said that. They were like, what is your thing on steel? I think I was interviewing for Best Buy. They were like, what is your view on if you saw a coworker stealing, what would you do? I was like, I mean, it's not food. It ain't a necessity. So I'd probably just turn them in. The dude was looking at me like, what? Wait, you would let somebody steal food? What is the, he was looking at me. I was like, oh, I thought we were having an honest dialogue.
Right.
My bad. Stealing is wrong under any circumstances. Definitely didn't get the job. I was laughing so hard because the way he looked at me. I was like, oh, my bad. I thought we were keeping it real. I thought you wanted to know who you were hiring.
Right.
I just told you there's no excuse to steal electronics. That should be a reason to walk in here.
It's Best Buy. This is what we sell here.
And there's nothing to steal here.
You know how hard it is to steal food from Best Buy? Anyway, all the food's in the front. First of all, if somebody can steal food out of Best Buy, you deserve it. It's all in the front by the register. You either are really fast or really sneaky. Either way, congratulations. Right.
Nah, man. That's why I'm glad comedy worked out, man. I'm just not made for... I did a McDonald's daggone questionnaire, and it was like, if somebody drops their ice cream, right? Like, what do you do? I was like, charged them for another ice cream. I gave you one, you dropped it, that's on you. They was like, nah, that's not good customer service. I was like, well, in the house I grew up in, there was no extra ice. You dropped your ice cream. You need to learn how to eat that's dirty ice
fault.
Cream.
Yeah, or, definitely they fault.
Right.
I handed it to you, you had it in your hand. Right. That was on you.
We believed in this weird thing called accountability, right? Where you just hold folks accountable. For the stuff that they did.
I was a complete opposite when it came to that stuff. When it came to fast food, I'm giving away everything. But I just didn't care about them jobs. And I didn't care. I knew they was big corporations, they was big companies, and they ain't hurting for none of this. I stayed giving some away. You didn't even have to spill your ice cream. I didn't even have to see you do it. If you said, hey, I dropped my ice cream, and I see the ice cream residue on your mouth, I'd be like, you know what? I believe you. Here's another one. And I just don't care.
Maya, what's going on, man? We got you in the corner for mad long.
Pushing cats.
We 53 minutes deep in here. We got any audience questions?
We do. I did want to ask you about DL before we go into audience questions. Is him passing out on stage, does him passing out on stage and having to be quarantined where he is for 14 days make you, I don't know, nervous about going back on the road?
Me, no, because he didn't pass out from just go. DL was exhausted. He works ridiculous. It's a lot of factors that played into his passing out. So for me, I'm not scared of COVID not going on stage, but you know, it was several things. Even when you watch the video, whoever that dude is that was on stage, he was ready for the pass out.
As a bodyguard.
So he might have told him ahead of time, hey, I don't know if I'm feeling it. You know, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I've been, I'll just, without saying too much, I just, no. I'm not, it's not the COVID that I'm worried about.
He's quarantined.
For me, it's like, I knew he didn't pass out because of COVID, but him being on the road could have exposed him to COVID. And so I'm just like, maybe I'll just wait it out a little bit. I already plan on waiting it out to September anyway, to just be out there traveling and just being in the mix with everybody. So I was just like, yeah, I'm going to still sit down for that travel stuff. So I still don't know. That's how I took that.
I immediately, like I just said, I was going back on the road. I saw DL faint and immediately recanted what I had put out there in the world. Me, like, I know everybody in that situation. I knew everybody who was there. I know everybody who was there. Seeing that video really hit me differently. Because not only do I know the people who ran on stage, I know the people who pulled them into the room. I know that, and I see how that just affected so many people. Then it really put, you know, a damper on just the thought of going out, because I don't want to do that. What if that's me and my people have to go do that and they get exposed and all these things? Mm-hmm. So I cut it back, and I was going to wait this, like, September anyway. Like Tony said, yeah, I just told everybody that I was going to go do it, but it wasn't going to be until September or so. So, but after having some conversations with people, I realized, man, I really love comedy. Like, I've given up everything in my life for this. So, and when I'm not doing it, I'm not happy. I'm not complete. So if I gotta, you know, risk getting sick to do it, man, I might just risk getting sick. I love this. Nothing else in my life replace it. So I'm gonna go out anyway. I made the decision. Me and I talk to my homie Sam J about it all the time. She's like, she ain't going. And I understand that. And I have underlying health conditions. That's how much it is. I don't know, man. I see y'all shaking y'all head, but y'all.
I'm not.
No, it's Tony. And
I'm just like, damn, you know.
But for me, man, it's like, it's not a money thing. You know, Tony can tell you, man, social media. When you get when you learn how to monetize social media, you straight. You ain't hurting in that way. I'm actually like saving more money than ever before because I'm not going on the road.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, so
me too. It's, I can sit out the rest of the year.
Yeah,
if I wanted to financially, there's no desperation for the money tip. My soul is like, I want to be on stage so bad.
Because this is another thing, man. That's therapeutic. I got some stuff I want to say. I got some stuff, man. I want to say. A lot of people don't realize, a lot of comics, when you look, when you watch a comic, we venting. It's something on our minds that we need to get off. And then when everybody laughing, it does something for us because we understand we're not the only ones. Good, there's other people in the world who feel, and then they need to feel that too. You know what I mean? There's stuff that's been going on with them that they need to know they're not the only ones, and we supply that with a joyous feeling on top of that.
Yeah, we get to express what everybody's feeling, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
And like in a way that is just like, okay, cool. That's why we get to, after the show, they be like, hey man, let me tell you something. And they'll zoom in on that specific, you know, bit that you did. Hey, when you said, I felt that.
So do I want to live? Do I want to live 40 comedy-less life, or do I want to live 9 months of doing the most comedy, doing the thing I love the most? I don't know. That's the thing.
I feel you, because I already don't live in the fear anyway. Like, I'm respectable. Like, if I walk outside, I wear my mask and all that. But it's not for me. It's for other people to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And but the fear factor, because I'm like, first of all, this is not going anywhere.
No.
It's never leaving.
That's my feeling.
So how long are you going to be afraid?
That's why I'm saying,
I understand cautious
years?
And I understand clean. But how long are you going to be afraid? I'm not afraid. I just don't live like that.
I can't do this for 40 years. I can't be on the fence about whether I'm, you know what I mean, going to go out or not. Mm-hmm. I got to do this comedy, Tony.
It don't even make sense. It's just weakening. If you hide from everybody, it's just weakening your immune system.
Yes.
Like, Tony, at least you go outside every day and go for your walks and whatnot. And you're still, I mean, I've seen you since that, you know what I mean? But some people are like, I have to stay in. You're just becoming a weak, sickly person.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I was like,
and you
I'm
know
outside
what you don't
the
get
community.
Back in this life? Time. Time.
Man.
What are we doing during the quarantine that's other than, like, some people can be like, we staying alive. But are you? What's the point in having a life if you ain't living? And that was the thing. I was scared, you know. And I have a friend who's a pilot. She was like, look, man. Dying is the one thing that is for certain. So go live. Don't be afraid to go live. And I was like, man, you right. Oh, she was like, what's stopping, you know, an earthquake from hitting? Now, what if you stayed in the house trying to get away from COVID and then LA got hit with one of these earthquakes and you're done? How stupid would you feel for not going out and living your life? You know what I mean? Or you stayed in a restaurant and some drunk driver drove through your front door and got you. Like, there's so many ways to go. Man, I gotta do what I love, man. I love this. I love this.
Yeah. And again, it's just about the fear. I'm not knocking anybody for being cautious or clean.
Mm-mm.
Cautious or clean. That's fine. But the fear, that's not me.
Did you
I'm cleaner
see the
than
podcast?
I've ever been. This whole quarantine has gave me some great habits.
Did you see the podcast that got Joe Rogan canceled online?
Oh, he's supposedly canceled?
He said something stupid, but he always says stupid stuff. So
he had Brett Weinstein on, and this guy is an evolutionary biologist. He's a PhD. He did his dissertation in bats. And he said he's making a really good case that this came from a lab. And that's the reason why it affects people differently and different tissues, because it was engineered to do so. Now, I was like, okay, it's the wet market. It probably is the wet market. But I'm also conspiracy minded in this way that I'm like, they canceled him so people won't listen to this specific podcast about this expert saying that this was an international lab and it was engineered to see how it could jump from animals to people. And that's why we see so many different symptoms. Don't take my word for it. See the Joe Rogan.
I've heard that several times though.
Yeah.
Anything that comes out, I could be like, somebody could have made that shit. Every time.
Okay.
I don't put it past any government not to engineer a virus.
I know you said you never question anything, but anytime you start with I never, I think you're going to say new. Now you got to do it. You got to give me one. You can't start anything with I never.
Anytime something new comes out, I'll be like, did they make that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because people have been filthily eating all kind of animals for mad long. So it's like, remember how they tried to say AIDS came from monkeys? Yeah. They was eating them. That ain't new. They've been doing it. Why is Joe Rogan under fire, though?
Here's what I think.
For having a guy on the show?
No, they say it's because of what he said about Joe Biden. But in this particular episode, this guy is an incredibly intelligent man. Talks about corona and how he's making a good case it came from a lab. He also talks about lab mice and how basically every lab mouse that has been tested on for the past like 30 years has been compromised. So we can't trust the results of any pharmaceuticals. And he's saying he won't take pharmaceuticals because of the way that the lab mice have these things called telomeres. It goes at the end of your DNA, and it's how we age. But they're engineered, the ones that are domestic, they're not wild mice are like this. They're engineered to have extra long ones. So all the pharmaceuticals that they test are going to say, oh, yeah, there's no long-term effects. But really, these mice are specially engineered to not have long-term effects. So he's making a really good case. Mm. And he almost tanked his career a bit before, but he came back. And he's making this really, really good case that we can't trust the results of any pharmaceutical testing for the past 30 years. Now, they say Joe Rogan got canceled because of the Joe Biden stuff. But me, as a conspiracy person, I'm like, that is the most interesting thing I have ever heard. And he got canceled a day later?
He's not canceled, though. He's
He has the biggest podcast
in the world. He's
pretty indestructible at this point.
And he built it without help.
Yeah.
So right. It's
that's why he's indestructible.
That's why he's like indestructible. They literally gave him $100 million just to play it on their web, on their platform.
Yeah.
They don't get nothing. They don't get no rights. No, they don't get to keep nothing. Just during this time period, you say you go here to get it. And they can't even charge people. They can't even make money, like extra money off of it. They cannot do anything other than what's already been done.
He's far from canceled. They just be like, shut up, Joe. And that's about as far as that's going to go.
And plus, Joe has said a lot of things he should have been canceled for.
Exactly.
So whatever he said about Joe Biden.
And not even him, his buddies. He defends his buddies on shit they
Jesus, he has the worst friends.
He has the worst circle of friends of all time. My God.
He has the worst friend. I know you're in the comedy store, so you can't say nothing to Tony, but I got it.
I can say whatever. Yeah, I'm like,
listen. With you, you that's why you can say whatever you want to.
You know what the thing about COVID for me is that it doesn't scare me because it's like it's something about the flu that just never scared me.
Well, you're in shape.
And like the only thing that scares me about COVID is like if I catch it, then I have to stay in and not move.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only fear I have, like, because I feel like if honestly I caught it, and not to be arrogant or anything like that, I feel like I would survive.
Yeah.
You know, that's my honest,
feeling. Both of you got all three of you would. It's with me, it's an issue because I don't think I would. But at the same time, it's like, man. Sometimes comedians live too long anyway and ruin their legacy. So yeah,
you want to die? You want to die on the go?
No matter where people, because I'll live forever, like Robin Harris. Robin Harris never got to do his hour special, and you caught the so many people. They'll tell you one of the greatest of all time. So if I go out on the way up. Especially if
what could have been is a great legacy for people because they'd be like, oh, he never even dropped. Then they'll just slowly release like little clips that you had on. They'd be like, man, he was going to be one of the greats.
Yeah. Mitch Hedberg. They did the same thing with him. So it's like, you know.
Dude, I don't want to die at this age, though.
Of course not.
I don't even want to put the risk out there. You're like, what if, like when people use that earthquake analogy, I'm like, nah, that ain't enough for me. Like, you got to live your life, but still have some sense. You know, don't just be too reckless because you're living your life.
Like when I was in Vegas this weekend.
Yeah, just like you only live once, work both ways. You only live once, but you only live once. Now,
right?
Some people doing too much. It's too much freedom. Like I get you happy to be back out, but still, even if it's not for you, at least do it for the other people. A lot of people are doing this selfishly, and that's something I had to even get out of. I was like, I'm gonna be fine. It was like, we know, but that old lady next to you. Let's say you did have it. She's not, mm-hmm. So can you just, and I'll be like, all right, I'll do that.
I'll be honest.
But I'm also not, you know, I ain't tongue-kissing strangers. People out here wilding. It's like, yo.
I think I've already had it, but I don't know.
A lot of people did.
I went home to Charlotte for Thanksgiving to do my Thanksgiving shows. I always do Thanksgiving weekend. Went to Charlotte, did my shows. Was supposed to fly back to L.A., had to cancel. Because I was tore down with this flu. I don't know what it was, but it
was COVID.
That's I couldn't even get out of bed, dog. I couldn't even get out of bed. I was taking so much. I was taking Mucinex, NyQuil, everything. They were like, you can't take too much of this because it'll fuck up your kidneys. I was like, I can't even breathe really good. Like, I was so jacked up. But I did not get it identified. I don't know what it was about or anything. So I don't want to act like, you know, say for certain and be reckless out here. I just wish there was a way to be able to tell that, you know, if you had it already, if testing told you if you had it already,
yeah,
things of that.
I had a friend,
that would be dope.
I had a friend who had it. I won't say his name because he was like, he ain't told nobody. And he had it. He was like, man, I'm fine. He's like, I had it. They told him, his dad made him get tested because his dad is older, freaked out. He said, I want you to go get tested. He got tested. And he was like, yeah, I had it. And I'm good. My kids ain't got it. Girl ain't got it. Just one of the things I had, and then they passed.
One of my best friends had it, and he had it bad.
Yeah.
He said it was chill. Felt like, he said it was painful to breathe.
Yeah. See, I've heard those stories, too. Like Michael Yo said, he was coughing up blood, and it hurt, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't have painful to breathe. I couldn't stop coughing fits to be able to breathe. Like, I was taking every cough suppressant known to man just so I could have the moment to breathe. It was bad. So the fever, super spiked fever, sweating through everything, sweat through the hole, through your bed sheets, everything. I was jacked up.
Wet bed sheets are the worst.
Yeah.
When you wake up in that sweat, like, I got to move. I can't sleep in that spot anymore.
Yeah. And then it only gets cold after that, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The worst.
The drying process is mad cold. So it doesn't, if it doesn't dry all the way, now you have this cold, wet spot you can't even be in. So you, like, in the bed doing shapes around the spot.
Miserable.
I think I had it, too. In late February, early March, I passed out in dance class, and my dance teacher said my lips were like white. And so I came up and she was like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. I walked here. I was fine. Like, I thought I was fine. Mm. I could walk, but like the overexertion of the dance, and it's African dance, so it's like jumping and all this stuff. I've been to dozens of dance class. Exactly.
You look like a puppy video.
And she said my lips were white, and she said I was going to call the ambulance. But
did you have on your A6 in dance class?
No, barefoot.
Okay. You're tapping into the ancestors.
I was about to say, my African dance is done in sneakers, son.
Okay.
You need to get in touch with your roots.
You know,
might be wearing A6
all the time. So we would just know. Like, you never know.
But yeah, they said I haven't, it was here.
Knock on wood, I haven't been like fever sick at all. I just get the dizzy spells. But I'd rather take the flu-like symptoms over this dizzy crap. But
dizzy thing's been too long, that's why.
It's just, like, it's so random.
And then now it's like, all right, it's been a while now. This is enough.
And it keeps coming out of nowhere. And I'm just like, bro.
Answers.
At least with the flu, you know you're going to get through it.
Yeah,
man. Run your course, dizzy spells. But other than that, like, I haven't been, I don't really, knock on wood, I don't get like sick like that. So I don't think I've had COVID based on, you know.
Yeah,
you could have it and not have any symptoms, yeah. But mm-hmm. I can't honestly say that, man, it was one moment where I felt like I had it. I can't say that I've had that. Once I left Cincinnati March 15th, I just, all right, I'm sitting down. And I just been like local, you know, walking around, going shopping and stuff like that. I just don't want people to be so defiant and, you know, ain't no COVID out here that they out here with it and then they expose people like my dad or my stepmom
because
they being stupid. That's the bullshit I hate. I ain't wearing no mask and then they breathing in my dad's eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know.
That's what I said. Even if it's annoying, just do it for other people. Just step out of yourself for a second. Because I am beyond annoyed with the mask. I think fear taxes are stupid. I'm that person. But I will play along for everybody else. Just if it puts you at ease. We went to get tacos the other night. I forgot my mask. So I sat in the car. I didn't want to freak nobody out in line. I was like, all right, I'll just sit in the car and chill out. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Was the tacos good?
I didn't even get any. I just ate. I wasn't even hungry. I was like, I'm good.
Do we have time for one question?
Mm-hmm. Let's do one question to get the hell out of here.
Okay, this is an interesting question. Zuri and Pops writes, "Hello, Tony, Keon, Maya, and of course Ryan. I'm a 49-year-old black man and would like to know what you guys think on the use of the N-word. Do you guys think it's time to stop calling each other the N-word in everyday convo?"
My take on the N-word is that I find myself editing where and when I say it. And you know what? Honestly, like, when I say it, I feel it every time I say it. Like, it hasn't always been that way for me. Like, when I say it, I'm like, ooh, I just said nigga, you know? And it's, it didn't always flow out of me like that, where I was just, like, conscious of it. You know, I'm big on context. Like, if I hear a white person, they know every single word to a rap song, and niggas in there and they say it, I'm not even going to flinch because I know the context of it, so I don't feel triggered by it. But with us saying it, I don't know. I don't know how I feel, but I just know I feel a certain way now when I say it. But I can't fully sit here and say where I'm at with it, you know, without me just rambling and saying some shit.
Do you follow the hashtag niggas be like?
Uh-uh.
It's a really funny hashtag on Instagram and super, super inappropriate. So I wouldn't recommend following this hashtag if you're sensitive at all.
I'm going to look it up right now.
But the thing is, a lot of that's not even in English and they still use that word. Like, a lot, I can't even identify a lot of the languages that it's in. Mm-hmm. But that word is everywhere now, in every population that has been exposed to hip hop culture. They just use it like they would say dude.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, not everybody that says nigga, they don't mean it as an attack. They just grew up with that word being normalized within, like, the hip hop community. So they're just saying it, you know. That's why I'm always like, you know. I don't immediately get triggered when other people say it right off the bat. It just comes with that context and intent.
Keon, what do you think?
Does niggas be like niggas be like a certain way? You know what I'm saying?
Niggas be like.
I guess I never even think about it, honestly, because it's like, it's just, like I said, a part of my culture. So I never think about it at all. I couldn't even tell you if I said it 0 times in a day or 36 times. Like, I don't know. I just, it's not a thing for me. Like, as far as others, if I hear it, I'll just be like, hey, you're not supposed to say that. But it's kind of, and it's not even, it's kind of like the word bitch with women. I don't say that to women, but if women want to say it to each other, that's their thing. Like, who am I to say y'all can't do that? Like, if that's what they want to do, and they ain't saying it out of malice to each other, it's just how they talk. Well, some are, but it's like Tony said, contents, you know. So I don't really have an opinion on it. Like, I just be like, that's just how we talk.
Okay, so I wanted to go last on purpose because I use the word more than everybody on here. So, and this is a conversation that's near and dear to my heart. I'm glad that he described who he was whenever he said it, because that does matter whenever I'm asked the question.
Question, good.
For one, Dick Gregory would say nigga, and he marched with Martin Luther King. So if he doesn't find a problem with saying nigga, good luck getting me to stop saying it. Because he dedicated his life to trying to get equality for black people, and he sacrificed his career.
His family too. Unsung.
So that's for one. And for two, it's cultural, baby. Like, at the end of the day, the only time I don't say it is when I'm the only black person in the room. If I'm in a room full of non-black people, I have no reason to say it because we ain't in there. So exactly. It ain't no point in saying it. because it ain't for everybody. It is our word. And no, you don't. If we stop saying it, who will we stop saying it for? And we stop saying it for us. We're not stop saying it for us. We stop saying, if we do stop saying it, we stop saying it to make others comfortable. And when has anyone ever done any stop doing anything to make us comfortable? Nah, yeah. It's fine. We don't have to stop doing stuff that it's cool with us or that we do to make others comfortable. Everybody has a choice. Every black person has a choice of whether they want to say it or whether they want to say it or not. You can make the choice not to say it, and that is completely fine.
It's completely fine.
It's completely fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to always say it, and I call objects, nigga. So it ain't even about.
I definitely do that.
Yeah, I definitely do that.
These niggas right here, it'd be straight. It'd be two squirrels outside.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you. So it ain't even for me. That's it ain't even about race.
That's
so
you know factual. What? You know what gives me pause on the nigga word though is that some black people are offended by it. I'm not even worried about people outside of black. I don't care how you feel about the word. But it'd be black people, like older black people, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying it in their presence.
That's fine.
And that's just honestly me.
Yeah, that's fair. I have a friend who's
but that's
like,
the thing. But that's also a thing.
But it's our thing.
Yeah, that's a conversation for us to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they say, hey, don't say that around me. The older generation, they can literally say, don't say whatever around. They can say, don't say Ryan around me, and I won't say it. I just respect the older generation like that. I'll say my name is something else until I'm out of the room.
Don't say your name. Yeah. Don't you say your name. Yeah, 1965, everybody with your name.
Yeah. They got lynched. You see what I'm saying? And I just have a respect because they lived a different experience than I did. But, you know, whenever I say somebody is my friend, that tells you that I know this person, you know, from something or whatever. If I tell you somebody is my nigga, that means I fuck with them on a whole different level. I don't know how the language is on this show, so I apologize.
No, we don't give a shit.
Okay. No, we good.
All right, so that just means I rock with you on a whole different level. I'll be like, if someone's like, do you know such and such? Yeah, that's my friend. Yeah, we rock with each other. Or it's like, do you know such and such? Oh, that's my nigga. Oh, that's, yeah, of course. Right. Oh, absolutely. It's different. So context is everything. I use it as a term of endearment, and I do also mean it in an insulting way. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, man, we were all supposed to be there at 8:00. This nigga didn't show up to 9:45. Right. There's nothing positive about the way I just said it. So, nah, but I'm using it for everything, and that's the way I talk. The one thing that in this society that we live in, being black, American black, is a unique thing. There is nothing like us anywhere else in the world. When you travel anywhere else in the world, we don't have many things that we can call cultural, but our language and our music and things of that nature is what we have. It's the one thing that we do have. So when we start letting people get to us in a way that makes us take these things away from us, what are we going to replace it with? Are you going to do a 23andMe and then choose one of the things that come up with it and learn that culture and then immerse yourself into that? Because I'm not doing that. I grew up in a place where they called us niggas and we turned it into something else. That's my culture. That's what I come from. Yeah. So that's my answer, nigga. Hope that helped.
Yeah, I feel you 100%.
Especially I feel that.
Tony said objects, or I think Ryan said it.
No, I said sports. Objects. So he was like,
he said objects.
That's what really put it in perspective, because I remember I was walking down Hollywood and slipped on a flyer in the rain. I didn't fall, but you know how you slip on, you know, them flyers.
Yeah.
And I remember I did, and I was like, nigga? Like, it was a flyer. It was a flyer. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, we just say it. It's a noun, it's an adjective,
it's a verb, it's all of that.
And I agree with not letting other people dictate how we speak. Like, now, I will respect the individual. I have a friend who was like, I would not like to be referred to like that.
Right.
Fine. No problem.
Yeah.
I respect your decision to do so. But in my context, or when I'm talking or texting or whatever, I'll be saying it.
Yeah. And if you have that, and I would do it that way too, I'll be like, yo, it was me. It was that nigga Keon. It was my nigga Tony. Rob. There was it was Rob, my nigga Maya. Like that's the way, that's just the way I would do. I respect your wishes, but I'll just Dick Gregory said, "Who told you you couldn't say that?" That's crazy to take something. Do you know how powerful it is to take something that they use to hurt you, and then not only take it away from them to where they can't hurt you, but then stop them from saying it too? That is so that is so gangster. Why would you want to take that away?
They hate the fact that they cannot say it. They always want to get in on it.
And you know what was crazy? It's not even the word. It's just them being left out. We could say run amuckle. And if that was a word, they'd be like, "We just want to say run amuckle." And no, that's ours. It's just a left out thing. It is not that they just hate being. Look at the math. Look at everything in the country. They hate being told no.
They grew up in a world where everything was available to them, and they don't even under. And then that's what makes me laugh. The ones that go, I don't have a privilege. Yes, you have the privilege of believing that nothing doesn't belong to you. Whenever we understand differently, there was this thing where this girl wore a Chinese dress to prom, and people, and then the Chinese community came after her, and then this one woman was trying to get me to understand. She was like, this one white woman was like, "I thought the dress looked pretty. Why in the world would it be?" I was like, "Did you know the cultural meaning of the dress? How do you know it wasn't a dress made for funerals? How do you know it wasn't a dress that was what? Did you ask anybody the context? If you're going to try to do something or try to, you know, use something or wear something or do anything that's a part of someone else's culture, you owe it to the people of that culture to do the research."
Yeah.
It's only a select group. And we know who they are. There's no need to even say what the group is. But there is a select group in this world that feels as though everything is theirs to sample. Everything is theirs to taste. Everything is theirs to, you know, be a part of. And you should feel honored that I want to do this with you. No, I don't. And you can't have it. And that's it. You can't have it. You don't get to enjoy so, my rhythm and not have my blues. Sorry.
That's real. All right, we got to wrap it up. I got 5% left on this laptop.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan, for appreciate coming it, back bro. And doing this for the alleged third, fourth time.
I'm going to watch Godfather for you.
Yes.
Watch The Godfather 1 and 2. You got to watch them both.
I'll do it for you.
Now, it's really like one movie, but man.
It's listen. Good. Now, how they use nigga in Godfather, definitely not good.
The mob, mobsters never respect blacks in them joints. Pisses me off every time. That's why The Godfather in Harlem is dope. Anyway, so if you have any questions for us, ask us in the YouTube comment section. We'll tackle them on the show. Thank you, Maya, for holding us down. Thank you, Ryan, once again. We're going to have you back again, too.
I'd love to come back.
So just be ready.
Yeah, come back, nigga.
yeah. Come on back, nigga. I don't know where I'll be, but I'll be somewhere. I'll be at home. I'll probably be doing another movie night soon this Sunday. And Keon, what you got going?
Same old shit. I didn't plan. I heard that I might be doing some stuff in August, September, maybe. But as far as, you know, recent... I ain't doing nothing but hanging out with my family and posting on the internet.
Ryan, what you got going?
I've got some stuff coming out. Shot some stuff with Sydney Castillo. I'm going to be in Corey Holcomb's music video when that drops. I got some stuff I'm working on. My podcast pretty much just sold that for 10 episodes. It was about the... go into production for that, and I'm gonna go back out on tour, man. I'm trying to stay busy, just trying to you know, further my career, you know. That's it, man. Just trying not to be in LA for no reason, you know. Being that I'm here, I got, you know, so no personal life. This is the closest thing to a personal life I got. Be able to, you know, talk to my niggas about some real shit. So, yeah, man. Appreciate y'all.
There it is, man. All right, y'all. We out here.
We out.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.